At the top of our program, we still have miles to go to rebuild Michigan after years of neglect. That sentence reflects the findings of a new report from the Michigan Economic Center at the Prima Civitas Foundation. The Michigan Dream at Risk report explores the societal costs of recent declines in investment in education, infrastructure, our cities, and the environment. Here's a segment from a video presentation that accompanies the report.
Funds to protect our natural resources have diminished significantly.
There is this movement to want to cut taxes.
Spending on roads and bridges were reduced.
The sewer infrastructure in our major cities is in desperate need of repair.
Our roads are crumbling.
There's been a disinvestment. K-12 ed, higher ed, many school districts have cut back on music and art and, you know, the kind of cultural things that are really important.
The Michigan Dream at Risk report also says there is significant public support for increased investment. So what does the report suggest regarding the Michigan comeback touted by Governor Rick Snyder and his supporters? Well, to answer that and up to 1,000 or so other questions, we welcome back John Austin of the Michigan Economic Center. Welcome back.
Good morning, Mark.
We'll also point out John is president of the State Board of Education and a non-resident senior fellow with the Brookings Institution. How did you compile your report?
Well, and I'm glad you played that video clip, and folks can go to the MichiganDream.org website and get the video, but also this really interactive set of stories and perspectives from real citizens and some of our experts, because stories tell more than the facts, which are also pretty sobering about our disinvestment and its effect on our incomes, and the imagery and the words that our citizens use about what they really care about. And that's where we started. We went out beginning a couple years ago and had focus groups and did survey work with citizens of Michigan and asked them, what do you care about this state? What is special about this state? And what really makes it go economically? And there was amazing convergence, whether you were up north or in Detroit, about the values Michigan citizens have and what they really view as special about the state and makes it go. And those were, you know, hard work being rewarded with opportunity, with great schools and great universities as a pathway to that opportunity. Having communities you can be proud of that are great places to raise a family, that aren't falling apart, where the roads are good and you have a pleasant environment to raise a family. And also this beautiful outdoors, this Great Lakes, we're going to all start enjoying it as we head up north this week. But that pure Michigan that we hold so dear, of having great places to escape with our family, clean water, Great Lakes, great park system, those are also defining features. And we ask people, okay, how are we doing? Are we taking good care of those things? And folks across the board said we're not living up to our pure Michigan ideal of what we really want to make the state be. And if anything, we're seeing continued trends of disinvestment, as that clip showed, in our road system, in our higher education and education system, and our great outdoors and taking good care of our clean water and our parks. Pure Michigan is not real if it's not made real by the continuing support for these things that Michigan citizens really care about.
There's a lot of pretty grim data in your report. Over the past 12 years, Michigan family income and buying power has fallen more than any other state in the nation. Over the past decade, Michigan communities lost over 4,000 police and firefighters due to budget cuts, and I could go on and on. Where did the data come from?
The data came from the very credible and good estimates that many of our analysts and economists and think tanks have put together. Most of the kind of the headline data over the last 10 years in terms of the real disinvestment trends come from the Center for Michigan, the nonpartisan, down-the-middle-of-the-road think tank that says, for example, real decline of 16% in our K-12 investment over the last 10 years, real declines of 29% in our higher ed support, which is why tuitions have doubled, and one of the great pathways to opportunity, almost free great universities like Michigan State and U of M are not almost free and are being priced out of reach. 6% decline in our support for clean water and conservation, and 31% cut in our basic city services, whether it's fire, roads, and municipal services of police. That's a significant walk back from the things that we did together. We came together to build a great road system. We invented the car and the road system. We built one of the greatest marvels of great public education and affordable higher education is the path to opportunity. We created for working people parks and lakes that you could enjoy and that were clean. We've diminished all of that, and it's been it's noticed, and it's painful for Michigan citizens, and they don't like it, and they really would like their leaders to get some spine and take better care of these things that power Michigan and that make it a special state to live and work, so we don't keep losing our kids to other places, and that we can attract all the people in the world who want to live and work in a beautiful, glorious state with great education and great communities, and make it that be Michigan.
Where would the funding come from to make this reinvestment a reality?
Well, we've got to do more than we're just now beginning to do with the modest kind of increments of money as our auto economy has come back. We've got to be willing to raise some new money. The reason we are disinvesting so dramatically, that we've cut billions out of our support for higher education, roads, basic community services, is mainly because we've been on a tax-cutting theology for the last 10 or 12 years. If we went back to just the tax rates that we had under John Engler, just the tax rates on income and business income, we would have $8 billion more money. That we could fix every pothole, we could make higher education affordable once again for our young people, we could clean up all our water. It's because we've basically diminished our level of effort as a state in the things we do together, which are roads, which are clean water, which are higher education. We used to spend 4% or more of whatever income we had as a state. And yes, the auto decline hurt us. But we used to spend 4% of whatever income we had in these public investments and that really create conditions for Michigan to thrive. We're down to 3% of our income. We've walked away from the things that we do together. Other states have found ways to raise billions for clean water, outdoors, and conservation, Minnesota. Billions for innovation in higher ed, Ohio.
Your report is in sharp contrast, I think, to Michigan as a comeback state under Governor Rick Snyder. Here is a sample of what millions of Michiganians are hearing and seeing in one Snyder for Governor TV ad.
Governor Rick Snyder cut job-killing taxes, and Michigan gained 220,000 private sector jobs, first in the nation in manufacturing jobs. Rick focused on veterans, made it easier for them to find jobs. We're number one in states that have recovered the most from the Great Recession. Education funding's up. Our $1.5 billion deficit is gone.
John Austin, do you quarrel with those claims? Are they wrong? Are they not enough? How do you respond to those claims?
Well, this challenge for Michigan started long before Governor Snyder, meaning we began to disinvest a decade or more ago. What Governor Snyder has done has been some good and probably a little more bad. When we cut business taxes or tax pensioners, which we could and should do to raise money, we didn't put that into roads and into higher education. We have begun a very modest baby steps, as I say, in terms of some additional higher ed and preschool funding, but we have not been successful, and the governor has been championing raising real new money to fix our roads. Other leaders, our legislators, are not yet willing to do what Michigan citizens would like to see done, which is raise some money, yes, raise some taxes to fix the roads and to make higher education affordable even more so. And the governor has been willing to advocate for some of this. He's also accommodated some of the tax cutting, which does not support economic growth. That is where I strongly disagree. The cutting of taxes, you have to have a decent business climate. We've got that.
Did any of the participants in your survey acknowledge the particular challenges that result from recovering from a very serious recession? Clearly, it had a serious impact on public revenue. Did that come up?
Michiganders are hard workers, and they know we've been through hard times. They also appreciate that what we suffered in terms of lost jobs was made even more severe of what we suffered from a walk away from support for great, almost free higher education, from commitment to infrastructure and roads. When you ask, and we did ask in this 1,000-person survey we did, what really matters to support job creation? 64% of Michigan citizens believe the most important thing state government can do for job creation is to, quote, provide quality education, good roads and transportation, good public services like safety, water, fire, parks, and libraries that create an environment which people want to live, work, and run a business. Only 29% believe the most important thing state government can do is, quote, cut taxes for individuals and business. That's what really creates jobs. And they are right. All the evidence of the states that are succeeding with growing incomes today and growing economic opportunity are not the low-tax states. They're the states that actually have strong and robust support for cities that people want to live in, for education, higher education, and research as a pathway to opportunity and new job creation, that invest more, not less, in their people and in their place and in their state. And that's what Michigan used to do. That's what made us great. That's what made pure Michigan real.
How do you respond to critics who might say that without some degree of cutting, of at least temporary disinvestment, that we'd have serious deficits and a seriously unsustainable situation along the lines of the federal government?
Michigan cannot run a deficit. We have chosen purposefully, though, to diminish our coming together and investing money by cutting taxes over the years. As I said, we used to be bumping up against the self-imposed Headley limit of how much tax revenue we would raise as a state. We are now $8 billion below that limit. We've basically walked away from a willingness to invest, our leaders have, and that's why we're calling, and I hope people will go to the michigandream.org to share their interests, share their frustrations, share their name and contact information, because our leaders need to get some appreciation that the things that people want to do better by, they know our schools are hurting, they want higher education to be affordable, they want to fix the roads, and they're willing to pay for it. We need to let our leaders know, and that's what I think this theology, again, of diminished support for public investment has taken us the wrong way. It certainly has not worked. Family incomes have plummeted more than any other state in Michigan over the last dozen years. So clearly the strategy of cutting taxes is not a recipe for economic success. Over that time, we've cut support for all the things that make pure Michigan real, that people know powers our state. When you ask them, as we do, when you hear their voices in our video and in our interactive report, you will, I think, appreciate, because it's so clear what people love about the state, and they want it to be real, and it can be real. And Michigan Economic Development Corporation made a great video a couple years ago, a pure Michigan video. It was just violins playing, beautiful visuals from this state, and some words scrolling across the screen. You know, kids jumping out of the cottage into the water. The number one public university was heralded, University of Michigan, as the images from people learning and research. It also had, you know, open road, people driving on this beautiful state, kids looking in wonder at the DIA and the Henry Ford. You could stop that video at any moment and say, look, that beach may be closed from fecal matter because we haven't been cleaning our water. The number one public university is now twice as expensive as it needs to be and isn't affordable for most people because we've cut funding. Those arts and cultural institutions have been eviscerated. We don't support them anymore. And watch out for that open road driving your car. I've got potholes in it. So all of those things that we reach to and that we love about pure Michigan that really make our hearts sing – have been diminished and degraded, and people don't like it, and we need to work together to send that message to our leaders.
John Austin is our guest of the Michigan Economic Center. John is also president of the State Board of Education. To get back to the Headley limit, though, which you point out is the amount of revenue that could be brought in is still well below the Headley limit, as you said.
Yeah, I agree. When we did Proposal A, property taxes were way too high, and we were bumping up against a tax rate that was probably getting frustratingly close to being overtaxing. We are not there anymore.
Isn't it true, though, that some number of the state's large cities in particular, I believe Lansing is one of them, is up against the Headley limit? So where you would stand to make more of that public revenue, the bigger cities are up against that?
The overall state and local tax burden has been fundamentally reduced, and to the point where we're really diminishing our support for things that people care about and that matter in terms of roads, higher education, and outdoors. We can creatively, I think if you ask the citizens, raise money. Our legislators in particular have not been willing to do that. Minnesota took to the ballot a proposal a couple years ago during the recession and said, let's raise $6 billion over 25 years for clean water, parks and conservation, and the arts, because those are so much important for who we are in Minnesota, having beautiful lakes. Well, that's Michigan, too. People want Pure Michigan to be real. We could raise some money. Ohio put $2.8 billion into higher education, innovation, research, new business development. Twice the voters voted for it. Our legislators won't even vote to fix the roads and put $1.5 billion in that's desperately needed when everyone, business, conservative, liberals, Democrats, agree we need to make it happen. They still can't pull the trigger.
Your report indicates significant support for public investment. Here in an election year, does that portend change?
I hope so, and I think that's why we need to encourage this discussion about what do Michigan's people really value about this state. What do they care about? And we need to, I mean, people vote for things and people support things they're emotionally attached to. And we've got to help make it clear. And I think this video and this report really listen to Michigan citizens, and it's their voices and their perspective of what they care about, what we all care about. I mean, I've raised my kids and enjoyed Pure Michigan and this wonderful opportunity to send my daughter to a great public university, which isn't almost free anymore, but it's still a great place.
Several polls have suggested that an edge. I mean, if you think that your findings portend change, several polls so far have suggested an edge, slight in some cases, but larger in others, for Rick Snyder in the governor's race. How do you square the support that the governor enjoys with the rather grim assessments of your report?
This is not about whether it's Rick Snyder or Mark Schauer or any of our leaders. I think the citizens of Michigan want to see support for and advocacy for the investments, yes, in the things that actually grow our economy, that they know grow our economy, and that really speak to them about what's special about Michigan. They do want communities that aren't falling apart. I mean, that's how they understand the roads issue. It's not the fact that they might pay more because they hit, you know, a pothole and their tire is broken. That's painful. But the real reason they want to fix the roads is because it's embarrassing. They don't want to live in communities that no one around the country would be proud of. And they would rather raise their kids and have a business. And that's when we ask them, what's matter? Why do you care about road funding? Because it's embarrassing. Who'd want to live in a community that's falling apart? So we need to translate and support left, right, Democrat, Republican, an agenda that is about building up the things that make Michigan go economically and that people care about, not continuing to diminish and degrade them as we have. It's not a recipe for economic success. I think the data proves that, but more Michigan citizens know that.
You are president of the State Board of Education here in Michigan. I'd be very interested in your response to any of the articles that appeared recently in the Detroit Free Press regarding Michigan's charter schools.
Yeah, I think the Free Press series clearly illustrates that we're suffering educationally and financially in terms of support for schools by having a rather chaotic, unregulated new school, including charter creation program, which, again, the State Board and many of us have been arguing to improve and change and to walk back. When we create new charter schools in an environment where we have already declining enrollments and we're having to encourage some schools to consolidate because of that, and we don't ensure that those new schools are delivering quality education, we have a double lose situation. Those new schools are being marketed, and as the series illustrates, they're often a mediocre or really bad education delivery. They don't deliver good outcomes. We have not had common sense limits on, if we're going to open new charters, let's make sure they deliver quality education and not let bad operators we know don't educate kids open more schools. Those kids lose. They get a diminished education. Meanwhile, our traditional public schools with fewer students, fewer dollars, fewer teachers and ability to deliver quality education, we have a lose-lose in terms of our education outcomes, and we're seeing that in terms of our test scores. And the public and parents know that our education system is under stress and is not getting the help it needs. When we have a chaotic free market of education where vendors can sell whatever they want, this is in contrast to what other states do that we should do, which have tightly regulated, both in terms of transparency and their business side, which isn't another problem, but also quality control on new charters so that they do deliver a better education, and we're using them purposely to provide a better option where we need them, where if we failed to turn around a school, let's replace it with a good charter. But let's not let any and all people open up new schools and deliver mediocre or poor education. We can't afford it, and it's hurting our outcomes of learning for all our students.
Assuming you're right, who needs to step up here? The legislature, the Michigan Department of Education, the State Board of Education? Who is it most incumbent on to begin to address this, assuming you are correct?
All of us. We've been and we will be calling for specific legislation from the legislature. We need legislation that both clarifies and makes clear regulations on kind of the policing of charters as a business. Full transparency, can't hide behind you're a for-profit operator, not show your books. We need to make it clear when they're self-dealing and other things, who can shut them down and enforce that. But we also need clear quality control and quality expectations for new charter schools. That was a complete failure or rejection. Our recommendations 2 years ago, when the cap was lifted, the university cap on charter schools and the cyber cap, the state board said, if we're going to lift the cap, at least let's have common sense. New schools should not be run by people that have a bad track record of educating kids already. We can't afford to waste taxpayer dollars. We can't afford to have more kids not learning, and it hurts the kids that are left in traditional schools with diminished services. The legislature rejected those recommendations, and the governor went along with them. So we need quality control, new quality control. We should have a moratorium on any new school creation starting now until we have quality charter. Massachusetts, you know, Paul Revelle was just in, I think he was on your show, the commissioner of Massachusetts.
He was.
They have the best education system in the state. They treat charters differently, and we should too. We do not need any and all new charters, particularly ones that are mediocre or poor. We need charters that are innovative and very high quality only, as in addition, that improves education outcomes, not diminishing them. So we should treat charters differently.
Dan Quisenberry of MAPSA, the Michigan Association of Public School Academies, told Tim Skubick on Off the Record late last week that Michigan charters actually have more oversight than conventional public schools.
I think the Free Press series makes that very clear that they certainly have not. The authorizers, the public bodies that could be and should be, do it very indifferently. Some do look hard and police hard their charters. Others totally turn a blind eye, or you would not be seeing these incredible stories of self-dealing, rejection of the actual charter board that was assembled, recommendations for we want to do something different with our leases in favor of the management companies. So we have wildly different behavior among the authorizers. Some are hands-off, anything goes, money-making out the wazoo, and some care deeply and have been willing to shut down bad schools and police them. But that we can't afford to have good, bad, and ugly when it comes to charter schools. It's costing us too much money. It's hurting educational outcomes. We need good charters, of which there are many, and I'm pro-charter, and we need charters as a purposeful strategy for how we create a new, better option where we need it, or how we create in the context of school communities wanting to do something innovative and do it better.
Michigan school kids will be taking the MEEP test for another year. What is your take on the return to the MEEP test for another year after so much anticipation of the Smarter Balanced Assessment?
I'm delighted that we are going to continue to be a state that's leading in implementing and putting in place good, rigorous learning standards that are what the state chooses to do, the Common Core, along with other standards and other disciplines that are high and rigorous. And we're going to develop an assessment per the legislation that assesses those standards.
It's just going to take longer than you would have liked.
Well, I think we're on our way. The key was getting the continued march forward to have good, rigorous learning standards that prepare people well, and we'll get the assessment in place that does evaluate those standards so that we know whether kids are learning. And that's what I believe this legislation will allow us to do, and that's good. And we'll go on to try to do other things, like reform the way we organize and fund schools so that we can provide more help and support. We've laid out very rigorous learning expectations and teacher evaluation expectations. We've got to get in the state on with the business of providing better help, better support, better investment in education, or we'll never support our educators in helping deliver those high standards, which we definitely want to see happen.
John Austin heads the Michigan Economic Center at the Prima Civitas Foundation. John is also president of the State Board of Education and a non-resident senior fellow with the Brookings Institution. Great to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.